I want you to turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of Luke again, if you will. Luke chapter 2. Let me repeat a few verses which Brother Payne read for us a moment ago. Now I'll begin reading with verse 28 of Luke 2. Then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The flesh clings tenaciously to two things. This natural man clings tenaciously to two things and is so reluctant to let them go. Number one, the flesh clings to this earth and to this world. The flesh is dust. It's nothing but dust. It can be nothing but dust. All flesh is grass. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return, God said. And the flesh being dust has an attraction for this earth. And even old age, I found this to be true, even old age with all its infirmities does not make men and women willing to depart out of this world. No matter how frail, no matter how sick, no matter how afflicted, this flesh will hold on and cling to this world. Or we may say with our mouths, I want the Lord to take me home. But are we really saying that in our hearts? Just how many of us here can honestly say, sincerely before God, from our hearts, with the Apostle Paul, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Examine your own heart while I examine mine. I just don't believe that I can, with all sincerity of heart and purpose before God, who looks on my heart and not on my words, say I'd be willing right now for God to take me out of this world. The flesh clings to the world. It clings to the earth. It has an attraction, a relationship that is so difficult to break. Only the grace of God, the powerful, all-powerful grace of God. Simeon said, Lord, let me die. Lord, let me depart. Something happened that broke the ties that bound him to this earth. Something happened that made everything around him lose its attraction and made him see the real vanity of this work. And he wanted to leave. He wanted to leave. The second thing that this flesh clings tenaciously to and is so reluctant to leave it go, and only the almighty, powerful grace of God can break the hold, and that is our self-righteousness, our goodness. He said, it's not so, preach. It is so. Human goodness is nothing but fiction. Human goodness is mere fiction. It does not exist. You know what fiction is? It doesn't exist. And that's what human righteousness and human goodness is. It's fiction. It does not even exist. There is no such thing as a good man. That's what Christ said. There is none good but God. There's none good, Paul said, no, not one. They've all sinned and come short of God's glory. Human righteousness is filthy rags. Human righteousness is an abomination to God, and yet we cling to our righteous rags till death do us part. And even at the judgment, our final words before God tells us to depart from Him will be, but Lord, we preached, and we cast out devils, and we did many wonderful works. Men will hold to this earth. They'll cling to this world. They'll hold to the vanities of this world until God drags them screaming away. And then finally, when they stand before Him, they hang on to the last shred of this world, and that's their righteousness. And they boast even before a holy God of what they did in His name. Human righteousness is a hindrance to salvation. Everything you've ever done for God or men is a hindrance to your salvation. It's never a help. It's always a hindrance. Human righteousness opposes the grace of God. It's the sworn enemy of the grace of God. It's the enemy of the mercy of God by which men are saved. Human righteousness will keep a man from Christ as long as it can. And human righteousness finally will keep a man out of heaven. These two things we ought to pray about. These two things we ought to seek deliverance from. But these two things can only be broken by a revelation of Christ. And that's what happened here. This old man was in the temple waiting, the scripture says, for the consolation of Israel. And Mary brought this child Jesus, God incarnate, 8 days old, in her arms to the temple to do after him according to the law. And the Holy Ghost had led this old man to the temple. And when she put the child Jesus in his arms, he said, as he blessed God, "Lord, now let me die. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." A revelation of Christ by the grace of God made him fit for heaven. A revelation of Christ by the grace of God revealed the only way to God. A revelation of Christ by the grace of God broke his confidence in the flesh and loosened the cords that bound him to this world, and he was ready to go. Simeon got a look at Christ. And when he got a saving look at Christ, both of these miracles were accomplished at the same time. He was redeemed and he was released. The Son had set him free. Had set him free from his righteousness and from his sins, and set him free from this world. And that's the only thing that will. Profession of faith won't do it. Morality of character will not do it. Dedication of purpose will not do it. Only a revelation of Christ. Our Lord said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Free from sin, free from the law, free from self-righteousness, and free from the fetters and cords that bind us to this old sinful world which is under God Almighty's curse. There are a lot of things in this scripture worthy of our attention. It would take all night. But I want to point out three. And to help you remember these three things, I have worded them in this fashion. Number one, Simeon's resolution. Number two, Simeon's revelation. And number three, Simeon's request. Let's look first of all at Simeon's resolution. Now look at verse 25. Now most preachers, when they begin their message on Simeon, they start down here with his confession of faith. They start down here when he saw the Lord and what he had to say after he saw the Lord. But there were some things took place before he saw the Lord. There were some resolutions. The first of which was this. Simeon was longing and looking for the Redeemer. That's right. He was longing and looking for the Redeemer. Men do not usually find salvation by accident. They're usually looking for it. Now you stay with me. This is so. I know this from God's Word, and I know this from experience. Men do not usually find salvation and redemption who have no interest in it. Men usually are blessed with a revelation of Christ who have an interest in Christ and who have an interest in God Almighty's mercy. A man doesn't accidentally run into the mercy of God.
We see in verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the Redeemer. Waiting for the Messiah. Waiting for that prophet of whom Moses spoke. He was waiting for God's revelation of redemption. And I'm saying this, that people who've wandered in tonight into this congregation with no interest in Christ and no desire for His mercy and no interest in His saving grace will go out the same way. But men who have come here, men and women and young people who have come here with an interest, who have come here with a desire, who have come here with a longing for God's grace and God's mercy, more than likely, they'll leave blessed in that fashion. Now, that's so. Those who feel their guilt and their sin usually find the one who has mercy for the guilty. The woman who had the issue of blood, she'd spent everything she had. She was no better. She'd wasted everything she had. She was so sick, 12 years of hunting a cure. Finally, she said, if I can get to Him, if I can get to Him, and if I can touch but the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. And she did get to Him. But she came with a need. She came with a hunger. The Scripture says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. The publican came to the temple. The Pharisee came to brag on himself. The publican came to seek the Lord. The Pharisee came to recount before God all the good deeds he had done. The publican came hunting mercy. The Pharisee came to the temple to tell God how great he was, and the publican came to the temple to tell God how sinful he was. Which one of them went home with a knowledge of Christ? Which one of them went home justified? Well, the publican did. He said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Those who seek Him, find Him. He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Turn to the book of Malachi. Listen to this. Malachi, and this fits so beautifully. Malachi 3:1, with this illustration before us tonight of Simeon. He says in chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 1, behold, I'll send my messenger. That's the Lord Jesus. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's who Simeon was looking for. He was looking for a redeemer. He knew his guilt. He knew his sin. He knew his inability. He was seeking the Lord. And he was found of him. Simeon was longing for the Redeemer. And then notice the second thing, verse 27. And Simeon was led by the Spirit to Christ. Now there are three important things here under this first point. Simeon's resolution. First of all, he was longing and looking for the Redeemer. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for the one upon whom the Father had put the power to deliver. He was looking for the one who was ordained and anointed and appointed and sent to redeem Israel. The woman at the well, she was looking for him. She said, I know when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us everything we need to know. I'm looking for the Messiah. And then in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. No man ever comes to Christ by his own wisdom. He comes by the Spirit. No man ever comes to Christ by his own wit. He comes by the Spirit of God. No man ever comes to Christ by his own will. Turn to John chapter 1 and let's read that. In John the first chapter, you know, Paul wrote that. He said, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. And here in John 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Our Savior said, no man can come to me except my Father draw him. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man that learneth, that heareth and learneth, every man that is taught by God, he'll come to me. The Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple. First of all, Simeon had a need. Simeon had a desire. Simeon was looking and longing for the Redeemer. And then the Holy Spirit brought him where he would have an encounter with the Savior. He met the Savior. The Holy Spirit brought him there. Now watch this. Verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. Here's the third thing. God had purposed to reveal Christ to him. God had purposed to reveal Christ. And there you have the three elements that are always present when a sinner comes to a saving knowledge of Christ. There you have the three elements that are always present when a sinner is brought by the Spirit of God to a knowledge of Christ. There's the purpose of God and the work of the Spirit and the desire in the heart of the sinner. Now, I know that today they teach the soul winners go out and knock on 9 doors and win 5 to Christ. Or knock on 20 doors and the average is win 3 or 4 to Christ. But I don't believe it. I believe men who come to Christ like Simeon. The purpose of God ordains it. The Holy Spirit of God performs it. And that sinner in his heart is seeking the Lord. He may not know the one whom he's seeking. He may not know what he needs. He may not know how God performs the miracle. But he knows one thing. He's lost and he needs help. He knows he's blind and he needs sight. He knows that he is sinful and he needs forgiveness. He knows he's guilty and he needs grace. He knows that and he's seeking the Lord. All right, the second thing. We have there Simeon's resolution. He was seeking the Lord. He'd never seen the Messiah. He'd never seen the Savior. He'd never seen God's redemptive purpose in Christ Jesus, God incarnate. But when he saw him, he recognized him. And I believe this, that men whom God has purposed to save, and men whom the Holy Spirit is leading to Christ, when they hear the gospel, they'll recognize it. My sheep, Christ said, will hear my voice, and they'll follow me. A stranger, they will not follow. Another voice, they will not hear. I know Satan is subtle, crafty, and he'll deceive, if it were possible, the very elect, but it's not possible. They'll hear God's voice because God has purposed to save them, and because the Holy Spirit is opening their ears and their eyes and their heart, and the Holy Spirit has given them a desire for Christ, a hunger for Christ. As one hymn writer wrote, give me Christ or I die. Now Simeon's revelation. Verse 29. Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, my friends, all believers have seen God's salvation. In John chapter 6, turn over there a moment, and this is a very important point here, and I hope you'll listen to it very carefully. I hope you won't hide behind a profession of faith or denominational affiliation or doctrine or theology or anything right now. I hope you hear this. All believers have seen the Christ. In John 6, verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, which seeth the Son. Now, we're not talking about with these natural eyes. Abraham saw his day before it dawned. Huh? Right? Christ said that. Abraham saw my day. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He saw my day, and he believed. You and I look back and see his day the same way Abraham looked forward, believing the word of God, believing the promise of God. Simeon saw Christ incarnate in human flesh. That's right. The centurion saw him die on the cross and said, surely this man was the Son of God. But all who see Christ in saving faith see him with an inner sight, but not a natural, physical sight. They see Christ with their hearts. How do they see him? They see him three ways. Now watch this. Christ is salvation. And this is where the world is missing it. I hear people all the time saying this, just trust the finished work of Christ. Now, I don't want to shock you, and I want to be very careful about what I say. I wouldn't wound the Lamb of God if I could help it. You'll miss salvation if you look to the finished work of Christ. And if you cling to the finished work of Christ, you'll miss salvation. Salvation is in a person. And salvation is not only in a person, salvation is a person. Now listen carefully to this. Christ is salvation. He is more than a Savior. He is salvation itself. Now listen to the Scripture. David said, the Lord is my light, and He is my salvation. Isaiah said, behold, God is my salvation. Now it's wonderful to read about and believe in the birth of Christ. God came down here to this earth and clothed Himself for a while in human flesh. It's wonderful to look to and believe in the work of Christ, His obedience to the holy law of God. He obeyed the law perfectly. It's wonderful to look to the life, the perfect life of Christ, which was without sin, and to the death of Christ on the cross, where He shed His blood for the remission of sin. But we must never forget, listen to this, that the essence of it all is His person. It is who died on the cross that gives virtue and power to what He did on the cross. This is so important. It is who came to the manger. It is who walked the streets of Galilee. It is who went to the cross and shed His blood. It is who was buried and rose again. It is the man who sitteth on the right hand of God. It is in His person that we are redeemed, not just in His work. A man may look back to the blood shed on Calvary and say he trusts the finished work of Christ and not walk with the Lord of glory. It's possible. It's possible for a man to read a book on theology and say, I agree with all of this. I agree. I know that Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And I rest in what He did, and yet still not love Him who did it. I don't know about those who are always arguing over the theories of the atonement. But I say this, Christ is the atonement. Christ is the sacrifice. All else is theory. We talk about the theories of the atonement. Christ is the atonement, and everything else is theory. He's truth. He's fact. Christ is our surety. Christ is our representative. Christ is our substitute. Christ is our mediator, and Christ is our king. Salvation is in a person. That's how Abraham was saved before Christ ever died on the cross. When Abraham was saved, the work wasn't finished. Now think about that. He wasn't saved trusting the finished work of Christ. He was saved trusting the one who finished the work. You think this is not important? What did He say to Peter when he sat down beside the fire? Do you love me? Do you love me? This is what it is. Isaiah talked about His work. But when Isaiah believed and was saved and trusted and believed God, His work wasn't finished. He trusted a person. And this is the thing that I'm trying to preach, and this is the thing that is so important, and this is the foundation of this whole thing called salvation. And it is the reason people are running in the church and running out, joining the church and disappearing, getting baptized and fading away, is they come to confidence in and faith in a work and not a person. Because when you come to be united vitally and living in a living relationship with a person, you can't leave Him. You can leave a theory. You can leave a profession. You can leave a decision. You can leave a theology. You can leave a person. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Not His work somewhere written on a book. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Christ is your life, not your profession. He's your life. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. Not to believe in facts, resting in finished work, but till He personally becomes formed in you. And when He does, Paul said, that's salvation. And this second thing, first of all, Christ is salvation. Simeon said, and his work wasn't finished when Simeon saw Him. Simeon saw Him as an infant. Simeon didn't know anything at that time in a concrete manner about a cross. But his faith and confidence was in a person. Now you think about this. In a person. And whatever that person did was all right by Simeon. Whatever that person accomplished, whatever that person had to go through, whatever that person was called upon to bear, whatever it pleased that person to do, He's my hope. I've seen your salvation. Simeon never saw the cross. He never saw the blood. He never saw the resurrection. He saw a person. He saw the Lord. Christ is salvation. Christ is God's salvation. Simeon said, mine eyes have seen Thy salvation. The Catholics have one way, the Baptists have a way, the Methodists have a way, everybody's got a way. Men have a number of ways and plans and all these things and call it salvation. But Simeon said, I've seen God's salvation. He'd seen Christ, the promised Savior all the way through the Old Testament. The provided Savior God gave His Son. The perfect Savior, He knew no sin. The punished Savior, He was wounded for our transgressions. The pleading Savior, He ever liveth to make intercession. The preeminent Savior, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. That's who Simeon saw. He saw not only salvation and God's salvation, but he saw the only salvation. Now you think about this. Simeon was no stranger to religion. Simeon was no stranger to the law. Simeon was no stranger to the sacrifices and the types and the holy days and the feasts and all these things. But he had never found any comfort in any of these things. Simeon was an old man. He probably had snow-white hair, and he probably had a long beard, and he probably had bent shoulders and a wrinkled face. He was probably way up in years, and he was a priest, and he had ministered about that temple. All these years he'd read the law over and over again and never found salvation in it. The law can't save. I don't know why preachers insist on preaching the law. The law can only shut the mouths of sinners. The law can only say guilty. The law can only say judge him. The law can only say condemn him. The law can speak no comfort. And Simeon never found any comfort in the law. He never found any release from his miseries in the law. And he went about all the sacrifices, the blood of animals. And he read the Scriptures, and he kept the feast and the holy days and the Sabbath days. Yes, sir, one day out of seven, he didn't walk but so far. He didn't eat but certain things. And yet none of these things ever met his need or gave him peace till he met Christ. And one look at Christ, he said, I've seen Thy salvation. I've seen Thy salvation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. None other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved, Christ the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood when all around my soul gives way. My experience, no. My goodness, no. He is my only hope and stay. Christ is salvation. A person. A person. Christ is God's salvation. He is the salvation that can make God just and justify. He is the salvation that can meet not only God's attribute of love, but God's attribute of righteousness. He is the salvation that can not only satisfy God's truth, but God's mercy. He's God's salvation. And He is the only salvation. And then we see, thirdly, Simeon's request. Lord, now. He'd never wanted to die before. He'd never wanted to leave this earth before. Something was missing. But now that God had revealed Christ to him, he said, I'm ready to die. Lord, now let me depart. Every fetter is broken. Every tie that has bound me, I'm not tied to life any longer. Christ is my life. I'm not tied to the comforts of this world. Christ is my peace. I'm not tied to home and family. Christ is my mother and my father, my brother and my sister. I can now rest in His will and His purpose, either here or there. Most of us must confess we're tied in one way or another, and we find it hard to break loose. We find it hard to cut loose from this world. And I know that only Christ can make us free. Where Christ is not valued above all things, gold can become an idol. Where Christ is not valued above all things, health can become an idol. Where Christ is not valued above all things, families can become idols. Where Christ is not valued above all things, the fleeting fame and recognition of men can become idols. But something happened to Simeon. He'd seen the Lord. He'd seen the glory of God. He'd seen the redemptive glory of God. And when he did, all of these ties just turned loose. And he said, let me depart. Let me depart. There's nothing here to keep me. There's nothing here to attract me. There's nothing here to hold me. Let me depart. No, well, notice this word carefully. He said, Lord, now you let me depart. My friends, the departure of any believer is only by divine appointment. Only by divine appointment. Now, you can sit around arguing. People usually do. They miss the point in Scripture and argue over something that doesn't matter. They sit around and say, well, I could neglect my body and die sooner. I could run out in front of a truck and all that foolishness, you know. But I'm telling you this. Simeon knew what he's talking about. He knew that the departure of any child of God was only by divine appointment. That I am immortal till God sees fit. Now you let me depart. I'm in your hands. My time is in your hands. The servant stands before his master. The master sits at the table. And the servant has brought in the food. And he's brought in the coffee. And he's brought in the dessert. And he's brought in the bowl for the master to wash his hands. He brought in the towel. He's brought in all the things, and the people are still sitting, and the servant standing by his master's side. And finally he turns to his master and he says, may I leave? And the master may say yes, he may say no, but that servant waits on his will. And I'm saying that God must give us the grace to do that too. Lord, let thy servant depart. Let him depart. And thank God he added this, let him depart in peace. And my friends, without a knowledge of Christ, a man can't die in peace. No man can die in peace who has not lived in peace. No man can die in faith who has not lived in faith. I don't care what the preachers say. They can take these sermons at funerals and preach people into heaven if they want to, but I'm telling you this, no man's going to die in peace who hasn't lived in peace. No man is going to die in Christ who has not lived in Christ. And no man is going to die in faith who has not lived in faith. And no man is going to rejoice in the glory, eternal glory of God, who has not rejoiced in God's earthly glory. And no man is going to fellowship through eternity with the redeemed in heaven who has not fellowshipped with the redeemed on earth. That's so. Let me depart in peace. Peace made with my Father, peace ruling in my heart, and peace about His providence. How I depart is God's business. When I depart is God's business. But the desire to depart, that's God's business too. He gives it to me. Only a revelation of Christ can do these two things. My flesh clings to this earth and to its idols of clay, and to all, as Solomon said, to all of its vanities. The only thing that will break the whole. And I can talk with my mouth all I want to, but my heart, if I justify myself, my own mouth would condemn me, Job said. The only thing that will really honestly and eternally and in reality break these ties or make them to take on less importance for me is a revelation of the glory of God. When I see the glory of God, the glory of the earth fades. When I see the glory of His family, the glory of my family fades. When I see the glory of His love, all this other fades into insignificance. Only a revelation of Christ can do that. And only a revelation of Christ can break my confidence and my hold in my righteousness. I am nothing. I know nothing. I have nothing. Never have done anything, and never will, to please a holy God in the flesh. In the flesh, no man can please God. The only person who has ever heard God say, "This is one in whom I'm well pleased," is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who rests today under divine approval is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the rest of us, without Christ, are under the wrath of God. He stood for me in eternity. He died for me on the cross. He stands for me at the right hand of God. He's coming for me. And when I stand before the judgment, my plea will not be what I've done or given or even believed. It'll be Christ is my salvation. Because He's God's salvation. And He's the only salvation. Our Father in heaven, teach us Thy way and Thy will. There's a way that seemeth right unto this flesh, but it's wrong. And the end of it's death and destruction. And how prone we are to go our way and rest in our traditions and our customs and our thoughts. O Lord, our thoughts are not Thy thoughts, and our ways are not Thy ways. Reveal Christ to us as You did to Simeon. Let us with an inner eye of faith behold Him in whatever phase of His work. From eternity past to eternity future, our hope and our confidence is in Christ. He is our refuge, and He is our foundation. He is our rock, and He is our righteousness, and He is our eternal salvation. Turn our eyes by the power of Thy Spirit upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and lead men and women, boys and girls who are here tonight to seek the Lord. Like a Simeon of old who waited and longed for the consolation of Israel. O God, lead us to seek Thee, and seeking Thee to find Thee, and finding Thee to love Thee, and loving Thee to enjoy Thy presence and Thy fellowship eternally. In Christ's name and for Christ's glory we pray. Amen.